Welcome, everybody, to the Grace Hour Show. We are a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us learn our faith in a practical way. So I'm Philippe Siragi, and I have the privilege to be with Pastor Schaller today. I'm very happy about that. And we'll be talking about leading by example. So the whole week is about leadership just a few thoughts to introduce the idea. So leading in the Bible is a big topic, right? There's a lot to say. And then what we focus on today is what does it mean to be a good example, right, in the Bible. And we will start off with Hebrews 13, verse 7. But before we do, just a couple thoughts. The idea is like, what is the role of the church in this world, right? It's very simply glorify God, teach the saints, the Christians, and reach the lost. And leading in the church needs to focus on that, you know, and maybe what we're talking about today is the two first ones. Like if I lead to the glory of God, then my life will be helpful for the body of Christ as well. So any thoughts you have to start us off today, Pastor?
Yeah, I think that's a great way to introduce the subject. The church, what is it and what's its role in society? And, basically, people do have faith, and they have faith in many different things. Mm-hmm. But the church defines with doctrine what it is that we believe and who we believe. Mm-hmm. So that definition is so important. And then when people believe in Christ and they understand what that means, that to believe in him, then the life of Christ in them makes them different. Yes. They are the salt of the earth, the light of the world. So when we talk about faith, we're talking about not only the idea of somebody believing in something, which is like part of life. Everybody's believing, mm-hmm. and even secular people believe that the material world has never had a beginning or an end, or there isn't any heaven or hell, there isn't any God, and so on. So they are believing. They are believing in those things, or hoping in them. But we're talking about something very well defined that really challenges my heart. And then the reciprocal consequence, God giving us Christ, God giving us a life of faith. And that's what we read in Hebrews 11.
Yeah, and I think for me, the idea of faith, what you were saying, is like, yeah, everybody has faith. You know, like you come into a room, whether you're a Christian or not, you sit in the chair, you sit without asking yourself a question because you've sat in chairs before. So you're exercising faith in your chair, but we're talking about something different. The object of our faith is what we really care about. You know, my faith doesn't really matter in one way in terms of size. I mean, Jesus tried to tell us in many times, the mustard seed of faith is enough to move mountains, you know. So it's not what we believe as Christians is not so much how much faith we have, but it's how big the God we're believing in, yes, is. And that's what we're talking about, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And then you said the purpose of the church was to proclaim the gospel,
yes,
build up people in the faith, make disciples,
yes,
and then evangelize.
Yes.
So when we read the Bible, we have patterns. We have people that were very different from one another, but they were believing in God,
yes,
the definition, I mean, the object of our faith, and then God doing things in them and through them.
Yeah.
And that's like a fantastic reality, that it really is the manifestation of God.
Yeah, I mean, if we don't have a message that is based on Christ, then we don't have a message at all. I mean, you've said that a lot in your preaching, is that I think it's important for us to realize, and that leads us to talking about, you know, what it means to lead by example. If I'm gifted naturally, then I can lead people a certain way. We use the word duplicate versus disciple. I can make people look like me because I'm good in an area. But if I duplicate people, then I don't disciple them unto Christ. And the only way for me to be able to bring people to Christ is to have a message. And the other two words, I think, besides faith, that is important is spiritual. You know, I think it's defined our lives as not just being religious, or we know things, or we believe in things, but you know, people use, I like the expression a little bit, like, it's not a religion, it's a relationship. It's not just as simple as that, but I love the idea that, we're introducing people to a person. And if I lead people by leading them to me, then I am not leading them to Christ. But if I have a message that is based on faith and in the Spirit, then I lead people to Christ and not just to me. And that's what we do, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very good. I like that point. Duplicate versus disciple. You know, you can copy things, but the copy is kind of more cosmetic.
Yes.
You copy something, but God is a God of our heart. And also the diversity, the variations, the different manifestations of God through these people in Hebrews 11, where you see them doing various things. Not one event is repeated.
Yes.
They're all very unique, and the unique people and different times and places, but you see God in each one of them.
Yes.
So the church is in the world to preach Christ. When Christ is believed and worshiped, then there will be a unique manifestation through that person.
Yes.
That's living by faith.
That's what we say in French. Maybe you have the same, but in mathematics, in French, we say the common denominator, right? Which is, you have the same idea. The common thing, the common thread, or the common denominator between Christians is Christ. It's not what we do. I'm thinking about this verse in 1 Corinthians 12. We have this idea that Paul is actually saying, you know, like, there is a diversity of gifts in the church. I think it's starting in verse 7, right? There's different ministries. With verse 4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. And diversities of activities, but in the same God. What I like about this is Paul uses the example of the body, human body, and puts that as an example as the body of Christ. And he's going to make a lot of points in there, but what I like about these three verses is that it speaks about diversity. We said something with Paul Angelinis on Tuesday about that, but I just want to go back to this, where there is diversity of gifts and ministries and operations. These are the three words he's using. So we understand diversity of gifts. Some people teach and some people have a hospitality. But then he says, you know, somebody have different ministries. I greet people at the door, or I take care of the kids. But then he says, when we have the same gifts and the same ministry, we also have different operations. So we may have the same gifts of teaching, and then we may actually be teaching, like the both of us are teaching at Maryland Bible College and Seminary. But the way you conduct your class is different than the way I conduct my class. And that's a difference of operations. But what we have in common is you want to glorify God. I want to glorify God in my class. I want to lead people, my students, to Christ, and you want to lead people to Christ. So what I like about this is Paul is making a point here, is that we have to make room for other people's ways of doing things, because what we do is manifest Christ. But then when we want to duplicate people and that disciple, I want you to do things exactly the way I do it. Like let's say I'm ushering, I'm the head of ushers in the church. I open the door with the right hand. You got to open the door with the right hand. I know you're a lefty, but you're going to have to open the door with the right hand, because I want you to do things the way I do things. But Paul says, no, there is a diversity of operations. And that's very important when we lead and we're an example to lead people to Christ. If I want people to do things the same way that I do, then I lead them to me. But if I let them use the gifts and operations that God has given them, then they can
I've never heard that before. Well, I mean, I know the text already,
yes,
but I don't think I've ever heard it like that. That's very good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good examples.
I think, yeah,
like,
I think for me,
open the door of the right hand.
Yes, I'm talking to a lefty, and I'm a lefty, so I can relate to the idea. But yeah, but that's the point, you know, in a way, like, I like the fact, because Paul is making, you know, he's talking about gifts in chapter 12, 13 and 14 with this parentheses about love, but he's saying, like, if the body was just noses, there wouldn't be a body, right? And then that's also another point interesting, I think, in leading, is like, we want unity, for unity means diversity. When there is unity because we're the same, that's uniformity, which is not the same thing at all. Like your life with God is different than my life with God, but there is the common denominator. You love God. We have prayer, we have meditation, we have the word of God, we go to church, we reach the lost. These are the common things we do. But the way you lead or the way you live your life before God is might be different than the way I live my life before God. But we have the same idea. We want to bring people to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is what we're talking about today.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Very good. Hebrews 13:7 says, mm-hmm. Remember them which have the rule over you. I think all of us who have lived the Christian life, we do recognize, discern, and take notice of the gift that is in a preacher, a pastor, yes. A leader, administrator, and they have rule over us in the sense that they are being used by God to help form Christ in us. So we are listening to them, particularly those that have the communication gifts of teaching and preaching. And then God using them to express to us his thought, his heart, the tears, mm-hmm. the firmness, the passion, the expression of authority, the conviction or persuasion of a truth. And that comes, that's imparted to us. So we are to remember them because they could be forgotten. But how do you feel about that remembering? Do you remember those people in your life?
I think there's a few words come to mind. It's first, inspiration is such a word used by the world, but I'm inspired, let's put it this way, by people that I've seen live their life for Christ. And also, I can be grateful and thankful. And when I think about people that I had in my life in that way, like those who went before me or those who were led, you know, and even those with which things didn't really go well at some point, you're still thankful for them, you know, because they've been used by God in their lives. And whether we like it or not, God decided that the church is the place to be. You know, mm-hmm. like I think maybe would I want my life to be more independent? Sure, my flesh would love that because I don't have to be accountable. That's another big word in leadership also. But then God decided, no, the church is the place. The church is the place. Then the first thing God did after he went to heaven is give him the Holy Spirit, and then that's when the church started. And then we see, you know, in the book of Acts, how the plan of God develops. And it's very simple. It's the fellowship, the word of God, you know, and then there's so many things that God does through the local church that he organized. And then we see that in Ephesians 4, for example, in Acts chapter 6, where we see God organizing the church by giving the church those who rule over us, you know, not rule as lords, as, you know, there's a verse we might look at later on, but rule in a way like I look at them and I follow their faith. That's the point he's making. But remembering is something I don't know. Yeah, I'm sure you remember. But I remember years ago, Pastor Stevens talked about the doctrine of souvenir. I think it's the word he used. And then we consciously make a decision to think about what God has done, you know.
Okay.
And that brings uh-huh. the idea of being thankful, you know.
Yes.
I can look back and say, wow, God, you know, like my wife and I moved here about 10 years ago, and we're very thankful to be here because, I mean, we're in your church, and then, you know, like you lead us to Christ, and then you preach the message, you preach the word of God, not other things. And that's something, if I remember that, then I can be thankful.
Yeah, you know, thank you. I would say that in a, maybe for us it might be easy to say I could never forget what has happened in my life, what leaders God has put in my life. I could never forget, but let's stop for a minute and say they can be forgotten.
Yes.
And the other one was, if you think of the Jewish people that came out of Egypt, and the book of Deuteronomy, it's Moses using that word many times, remember, yes. remember, remember, which kind of smacks of the idea that it could be forgotten, yes. forgotten, forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is that it could be remembered in the wrong way.
Yes.
So there are people that put another spin on things that actually were holy and sacred, and now look at them in another way, like the Jews thought about Moses that way. Yes. Did you bring us out into the desert to kill us, you know? So the verse really is important. Remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. So what is it that they have done? Basically, they gave us the word. And then it says, whose faith follow, that they have walked by faith in the word. And we follow them, and we consider the end of their life, the end effect of their faith. We like it.
Yes.
We like it. Where did their faith bring them? You know, where did their faith, what did it do? Well, we, in greater grace, we are in many parts of the world. We would not be there unless there were people that lived by faith.
Yes.
We would not be preaching the word today in many parts of the world, except that those people heard the word from a teacher, a pastor, a leader, and followed, and then they doing it, and then here we are. And and we should consider where it brings us.
I like the idea, because I think sometimes, I mean, when we read the word, we're encouraged. I can see David, I can see he fighting against Goliath, I can see Elijah, you know. And even though the Bible says, you know, in Peter says that he's the man like us, but then I relate more with people around me. Like, that's just the way it is. I can read the Bible and be encouraged, but I can also look at them as being untouchable people.
Yeah.
These are the great people. But then I turn around and I see people around me that went by faith or live by faith. Went to, you know, Baku as you were there, or went to India or Africa and other places, realized, well, maybe it is possible for me, you know, and that's one form of leading, you know, by example. Like, okay, well, it is possible to live your life by faith and actually look back in 30, 40, 50 years later. And I'm sure if I would ask you the question, after 50 years of being a Christian, do you regret it? I don't think you're going to say yes, you know, but you made radical decisions in your life, you know, so, yeah, I like the idea of being surrounded by people of faith, because it makes the Bible more true for me also.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah.
I mean, David, he's a hero, Elijah, and, you know, but then the guy that's, you know, let's say he backslides, he's restored, and then the Lord really puts his hand on him and uses him. And how do we look at that guy? Well, like, if he did it, I could do it, you know? Like, that's an example for me.
Yeah.
Not of, like, being a perfect person, but a man that lived by faith.
Yeah, I'm looking at some people that I know, I'm thinking, well, that's a trophy of grace right there. You know, you could say, and if failure and being restored qualifies me as someone who walks with God, then I qualify. But if I have to be special, I may not feel like I qualify. But if being restored by Christ, you know, when I failed is enough to be qualified, then I do qualify. And then I can see others who have gone before or either rule over me, as we read in Hebrews 13, or people that are beside me and in the same church. And then I look at their life and thinking, well, yeah, God has used them in their lives, and maybe God can use me as well. Because I think sometimes we stay away from the involvement, being involved in God's calling for our lives, because we don't feel adequate, you know. And I think it's, and that's okay, because we're not called to be adequate. We're called to lean on Him. But I think, and we go back to the idea of leaning by example. If I give people that are under me or with me the wrong impression that I got this personally, and it has nothing to do with the grace of God, where it has nothing to do with the fact that I lean on Him on a daily basis and that I don't know what I'm doing sometimes, but I'm giving people the impression that I got this, you know, then of course I disqualify a lot of people because they don't have it. Mm-hmm. And if I make them believe that I do, then I'm actually not leading by example, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
mm-hmm.
also something I have to be aware of. Like, I don't delegate because I do it. I can do it better than you, or I you know, and there's so many ways where we can think about not being encouraging to others because we lead a certain way that doesn't show the grace of God in our lives.
Right? Oh, that's a good point. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So people that are, like, in the world of leadership, is their talent, their determination, maybe sincerity, dedication, mm-hmm. hard work. So, but then when we are spiritually minded, it's more of a total dependence on God,
yes.
and the Spirit filling us and using us. And we have a spirit of humility, a spirit of surrender. Mm. We're not embarrassed by the fact that we may not look good or that what we're doing might look a little ridiculous. Yes. You see that with Noah building the ark, Sarah having a baby, mm-hmm. and Abraham believing that he would be the father of a great nation. Mm-hmm. All of those examples, and even Moses saying that I'm going to bring the people out of Egypt, all of them have like a ridiculous side to them,
yes.
you know, because, and then if you were to interview those people, they would say there would not be any confidence in their flesh.
Yes.
It would just be, you know, yeah. Yeah, I know it sounds crazy, but I'm believing God, and God is with me, and I have peace about it, and I think it's going to happen.
Yeah. It's funny how, you know, like, yeah, if they were to talk to us, they would feel a lot more relatable. But yeah. It's what I like about Hebrews 11. You know, it's almost God. You could say, I'm going to say something interesting in that way, but I mean, bear with me. I think God put a spin on their story. Because this is not what happened. Hebrews 11 is not what really happened. You know, did Sarah really believe? No, she laughed. You know, everybody looks good in Hebrews 11, but I think it's God's perspective on things.
Uh-huh.
Because God valued their faith, not yeah. the failure. So I think that also, if I have that in mind, if I lead people in faith, then I can end up being a good example because they know both. They know my failure. God didn't want us to know their failures. There would be a lot of chapters missing in the Bible, and we would just have Hebrews 11. Oh, these guys are just high. Well, no, God says, well, let me tell you how failed, how much they failed, and I'm telling you what I remember. What I remember is their faith. Did Sarah laugh? Yes, it's there in Genesis. But did she live by faith? Yes, it's there in Hebrews 11. And that's the context of Hebrews 13 that we're reading, whose faith we follow. Can I follow Sarah's faith according to God? Yes, I can. Mm-hmm. Because she failed, she laughed, she didn't believe, but at the end she had the son.
Mm-hmm.
And she did believe, and God came through, and God was true to his promises.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the beauty of those, you know, that chapter in Hebrews 11, or, you know, or chapter 13, the great cloud of witnesses, you know.
There are biographies that you can read of missionaries and leaders and women missionaries and women leaders and men leaders, of course. And you just enjoy hearing the story of how hard it was for them, but they believed. So the righteous man will fall 7 times, yes. but get up.
Yes.
A wicked man will fall and then fall into mischief. So,
yes.
We want to recognize that our life should be relating to those kind of people,
mm-hmm.
and following them and enjoying the story,
mm-hmm.
because whether it's remember the one that had the orphanages was Mueller, mm-hmm. And then you had people like Spurgeon and missionaries like C.T. Studd, mm-hmm. and Mary Slessor and Amy Carmichael, and you just say, wow, they were, like C.T. Studd was one of the Cambridge Seven, a very talented athlete, mm-hmm. and also from money. He had money, but he gave it away, became a believer, mm-hmm. and he just believed that I want to do mission work, I want to go for it. And so he became a great example for us.
Yeah. That's that's really amazing about, you know, like, yeah, Hudson Taylor, and you're teaching Intro to Missions mm-hmm. this semester at MBCNS, but I think it's, if you, maybe for those who haven't read about missions, there is a good book by Ruth Tucker. I don't know if you use that for
yeah, we do.
Yeah, it's from Iron Gyre, from Jerusalem to Iron Gyre, which is a very good book. There's another one that I really enjoyed. It's by Michael Green. It's called Evangelism in the Early Church.
Yeah, I have that.
You have that. It's a really good book about how, because it's funny, it's sideways a little bit over our topic, but I think it's funny how we look at the world today and we're so like, this is the worst. This is the worst, you know, and then Michael Green's making a point. Well, it's not really good, but it was worse in the past. And look what God did. You know, it's like, it's so encouraging to read what happened in the first three centuries and how worse they had it and how God came through and how God can use us today. That's so interesting. You know, when I read this book, I'm thinking, wow, like I really loved his points. You know, we may be persecuted, but it's not across the board that everybody dies as a martyr. It was the case in the Roman Empire at the time. So your life was threatened. Our lives are not threatened yet, but they are not threatened here. But, you know, and I don't have that as an excuse. You know, I can serve God. I can glorify him in my life by making choices by faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as we were talking earlier in your office, without faith and without the Spirit, there's not much we have as Christians. You know, what do I have? You know, I have my natural life, my natural talents maybe, but none of these can accomplish the work of God. None of those, you know. So I'm thinking about this verse also. 1 Thessalonians 1:6. I have here. Just want to read. Maybe we can talk about this one if you want. As you became followers of us and the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Spirit. I think the point that Paul is making here is that it goes back to the remembering of those who rule over us. You know, like as leaders, first thing that we don't get the wrong impression that when you lead, you don't follow. I have people in my life that I'm accountable to. And of course, we follow Christ, but I have real people here. I'm just not like hyper spiritually accountable. I have some, you know, we have some real people. But the point here is that he's making that we follow Christ and then we follow people. So what we're looking at when we are following people is we're looking at their life and how they follow Christ. How do you show Christ to me? That would be one question that I'm interested in. How do we show Christ to people?
Well, I think maybe we all have experience where somebody could be very quiet and godly, and you enjoy the fact that they are not pushy or promoting themselves or particularly like flamboyant or charismatic or. But they are who they are, and they don't apologize for it. It's refreshing.
Yes.
They are just a very and to have a relationship with them is solid. Like they are very real and very loving people, and that ministers to you.
Yes.
So there's that kind of person, and you can have another one that is more outgoing, or they also have a godly spirit, and they're very. It might in at any time. They might be very strong, very bold, very confident. Maybe like David at some time, but David was like all of these different expressions. So you become a follower, discerning, like who is ministering to you and how does that ministry happen?
This is another verse that I think would. Like 2 Corinthians 1:24, not that we have dominion over your faith, but we are helpers of your joy. That's a good way to define a good leader is someone who is a helper of our joy. You know, because my soul clings to the dust, Psalm 119, it is my default mode. You know, so when I wake up in the morning, do I think with God? Not necessarily. And an hour later after my devotional, do I think with God still? Not necessarily, you know. And
then, yes, right.
So I'm already dragging myself down, you know, as a human being. And so what I need is what we need with each other is being helpers over each other's joy. Like, how can I bring God into the picture? How can I bring, God into the situation? I mean, as a joke, many times in our staff meeting, you're going to say, or even that church, have a good attitude with your neighbor. And I think it's such counterintuitive, because I'm already happy to be here. So I drag myself to church, or I drag myself to, you know, and then, but then it's, there's another challenge because we can, I think we're not into positivism. Like I'm not trying to be a better person. Right. There's no expression like good and bad Christian in the Bible. Mm-hmm. You're spiritual and you're in the flesh. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not working on ourselves to be better. We just already have, you know, like I taught the class in the Far East last week, you know, but and it was 2 Peter 1, you know, and you know, where Peter, you know, says, you know, like God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness, and then he goes on to say add virtue to brotherly love, you know, and but the point that I was making is that all these things are already there. God has given us all that pertains to life. I don't have to look for virtue, brotherly love, perseverance, all these things. First, I have the Spirit, therefore I have the fruit of the Spirit. And the example I was giving to express what I think is the idea is like, I don't know if you cook or bake, but I like to bake sometimes. I'm not good at either. I only do 2 cakes. That's it. But the one thing that helps me a lot when I do, like I do a carrot cake, right? I get confused at some point if I don't measure well, you know. So what I have in front of me is I got everything ready, like if 3 cup of flour, this, and I don't measure as I bake. I have everything on the table, so when I'm ready to do it, I can roll, and because I don't have to do 2 things at the same time. And I find for me, this is the same thing. Like everything is on the table that I need to add as I'm baking, so I just have to pour together at the right time. So for me, it's not like I need to look for gentleness or brotherly love or peace. I have it here.
Yeah.
So the difference between positivism and being spiritual is positivism, and I have to work on it. And in the spirit, I just have to live in it. That's it. So it's not such a big work for me to have a good attitude. I just have to be in the spirit. Mm. It's not a big work for me. Oh, I have to add all this. No, you have already received everything that pertains to life and godliness.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have to work on this. I just have to live in it. And I think this is such a, and if I lead this way, then I can help, you know, the people that I'm serving in the church, you know, to show them, yeah, we have everything that pertains to life and godliness already.
Oh, that's a good word. You know, that brings up another point you say positivism.
Yes.
I think maybe not everybody knows what you mean, but in the American culture, we believe that we should be positive, you know, successful, maybe even proactive, and those ideas. But in Christianity and in reality, you can suffer.
Yes, yes.
And suffering is part of life, and suffering is something we should look at with the Holy Spirit. And that's another manifestation of Christ. When somebody is hurting, but they are being comforted by the Holy Spirit, they have peace in their heart, but at the same time, they're suffering. So if I could meet a person who is living in faith, but not covering up their pain with positivism, you know, and not being realistic about it, and you're saying, I'm fine, and there's like a plastic smile.
Yes.
This is the difference between positivism and living in the spirit and living in faith is that we're not denying the reality of the suffering.
Mm-hmm.
We're living in the reality of God in the midst of our suffering. Yes. And that kind of person is a great person to be around.
Yes. People have seen you and messages, you use the house of the two floors a lot. Mm. You know, this is one of my favorite illustrations because it summarizes a lot of the way we understand the Christian life. Like the first floor is really the natural life, and the second floor is the spiritual life. But then you're not opposing the both of them by saying, well, if you're spiritual, you live on the second floor. If you're spiritual, then you live on both floors.
Yes.
In a way, like my reality is my reality. Like, you know, but I have my head, maybe I have my foot on the ground, but I have my head in the second floor.
Yes.
I can think with God despite my situations. And if I can live this way transparently, in a good sense, then I can lead people, because every success or every that can be perceived as success from the outside can be attributed to God and not to me. I think also I've, as leaders, one of the problems we may have if we're not humble is we take the credits, but we never take the blame for things. So and we tend to expand the credits, so we look good, so which make us look good, but makes people look bad in a way, because, you know, as a leader, if I do everything right, first I'm lying because I don't. But if I let people perceive that I'm doing everything right, then I'm not showing Christ, because my life, I'm not perfect. I'm not sanctified. I am in my position. I am, but I'm still growing. And I'm learning how to pray. I'm still learning how to meditate. I'm still learning how to put God first in my life. And if I, again, we go back to what I said earlier, if I give the impression that I got this, then I'm not someone who's following Christ. I'm someone who's giving a wrong impression of what Christian life is.
Oh, wow, mm-hmm. That's loaded. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's very good. We're really talking about ministering Christ to people, yes, in such a way that if they can discern and recognize, yes, they benefit because you have you're following their faith, that they are suffering, let's say they're suffering, maybe they have a disease, or they've lost a very close family member and they're having a hard time, or they lost a job, or Even to be honest, like they have an addiction of some kind, mm-hmm, but they are living in faith and overcoming, and that overcoming is the comfort from the Holy Spirit, and then with anything sinful that goes away, I mean, they always have the potential for it, but they're learning how to have victory over, yes, it, and then in the suffering they're glorifying God. So this is something the world cannot do.
No.
The world can teach positivism. Yes. The world can talk about our success and our, yes, you know, but when you are able, without embarrassment, to, yeah, say, you know, it's not going that well for me, but I do have the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the truth, the promises, and I'm living by faith.
Yeah. I mean, it's the idea of, like, you know, the famous half full or half empty cup, you know. An optimistic will see it's half full. A pessimistic will see it's half empty. The Christian seeing this, thankful, it's half full, and he knows God can fill it and overflow if he wants to, but I'm content with what I have. Mm. It's a different way of looking at life, you know, like instead of, you know, looking at things about, you know, like when we're saying about positivism, I think the culture, which is for me as an outsider, I lived here for 10 years, and it's one thing I mean, same for you, right? It's one thing we really enjoy about here, like, you know, like people are go-getters, you know, like, yeah, America is the hardworking country. People who have, like, they don't, you know, you don't hear a lot of complaints. I mean, you used to not hear like complaints now.
Yeah.
Now we do, the world is what it is. But I think, but on the other hand, my culture today, or, you know, even my culture is good, that I cannot bring my culture as a substitute for my life with Christ. Mm. So if I feel like this way in my culture, well, I gotta see the good in things. And I bring that in my life. I got to see the good in things. No, I got to see Christ in things, which is very different, because I can be content if I see him. But, yeah, I will never be content if I look at you know, what the culture shows me, and then I compare my life with my neighbors, and I don't have enough. I need more of this, you know. And as Christian, what we're saying is that, okay, the center of our life is Christ. And then I grow in him. And that's the it. If I look at Ephesians 4, the reason why God has given us, you know, the pastor, teacher, the evangelist, the prophets, and the apostles, all of them are related to preaching one way or the other the word of God. And at the end, the role of the church, as far as I'm concerned as a Christian, is for me to know him. There's a positive and negative consequence in Ephesians 4. The first one is to avoid the negative, which is being tossed to and fro like children by every wind of doctrine. And the positive is for me to get to maturity in Christ. And this is it. So when we lead by example, then we lead with the word of God. And then we let the Holy Spirit do its work, mm-hmm, you know, in people's lives.
Wow, that's good. Mm-hmm. So we're not tossed to and fro,
yep,
but we mature.
Yes.
Those two ideas.
Yes.
Like, we will not be tossed to and fro, meaning we can really be manipulated by our culture.
Yes.
We can be manipulated by opinions of people. We can be really tossed to and fro. We can change from one year to another.
Yes.
Or even one trimester period, you know, 3 months. Yes. Or quarter. And so then we're really, you know, people move from one place to another geographically. They move, they change jobs, they change wives, mm-hmm. they change habits, they change relationships, and they are really suffer. They're not anchored.
Yes.
But when you mature in Christ, this way of life is for 50 years in my case, and you know, in a little while, yours too.
Yes.
I mean, you got a long
way. Not 50 yet.
Yeah.
I'm about 20 years behind.
You're 20 years behind, yeah. But, you know, imagine having the same thing happening
yes.
in your life for your whole life,
mm-hmm.
The same line, you know.
Yeah.
And it's always different, but the effect, the source of it is the same,
yes.
the reality of God.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, you know, that's the difference between, like, the world and the Christian, right? So we breathe the same air, we eat the same food, we do the same jobs. You know, we work up in the morning, we go up at night. And the difference is I have Christ in my life today, and I will spend the eternity in heaven. That's the difference. But I don't, and nothing else is really different in one way. But then it affects everything. It affects everything I think, everything I say. Is I-55, my thoughts are not your thoughts. When I think God's thoughts, then I think differently. But there has nothing to do. Like, we understand how the grace of God makes us like we're different, right?
Mm.
But we're not different because we're better. We're different because we think with Christ.
Mm.
So if I bring this idea to my leadership, then I also can let others see what I believe as a Christian. Is like I'm not what I am by anything else but by the grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, and that makes me thankful. And also maybe when I look at others that are rule over me and I see that helps me grow, helps me see that my life can be useful for the kingdom. And that's when we lead people. Yes, you can be used by God. God has a calling on you.
You know, just, I was in Baku. I think we're closing now, but mm-hmm. I was in Baku and I met a brother who gave me a photograph from 27 years ago
yeah.
of him and myself and his son. I met Russians there that were just great, great believers and great people. Mm-hmm. And I met people from Hungary. I met people from Turkmenistan. I met people from Uzbekistan and Kyrgyzstan.
Mm-hmm.
The what we're talking about here is incredibly beautiful, because when we are followers of Christ and we discern him and recognize him, when we are together and we take note of each other in a spiritual way, and we come away with something.
Yes.
We actually have it with us when we go away, and we remember our brothers, our sisters, our messages,
yes.
our way of life, our what we think, what we believe. And we don't even know each other
yeah.
in one way. We don't know. Like, we might not know the same language. We might not have the same this or that. But we are that. This is a very real thing that God has told us.
Yes.
And he is ministering to us. And it's really happening.
Yeah. Wow. I think it's a good way to conclude it.
Yeah, amen.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys for joining us today. And I have to say the sentence that is official. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts, and all the other podcasts, and Spotify. So thank you, Pastor. It was great to be with you today.
Good to be with
all
you.
Right.
Yes.